bow at his feet. He has done great things. He, what a Savior has done. See how his love overcomes. He has done great things. He has done great things.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Swim Community Church. We're so glad you could join us this morning in person and on our live stream. And this morning, I was thinking about what an honor, what a pleasure it is that we can gather as a church. There's really something special and sacred. You know, Jesus said, where two or more are gathered in my name, I am there with them. And so as we worship together, we're in the presence of Jesus, and we're being reminded of who we are. As we sing these worship songs, we're reminding ourselves of who we are in Christ and who he is. So let's continue to sing and worship together.
Who am I that the highest King would welcome me? I was lost, he brought me in for his love for me. Oh, his love. Who the Son says
Good. Stop working. You never
stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. And even when I don't see it, you're working. And even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. And even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop. You are Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness.
Glad to know that you are the God that you say you are, that the scriptures declare, that we've personally experienced. A God who's making a way, a God who has a plan and a path for us to walk, a God who knows how to deal with our past. A God who knows how to empower us and give us peace in the present. A God in whom we can trust and have hope and a future in. What an awesome God you are. Lord, the more we get to know you personally, the more we know. Well, we need your Holy Spirit help, because we are striving in sanctification, yet we've not yet arrived. And we realize in the past week that, we've messed up. We've fallen short of your glorious ideal. We've missed the mark. Lord, we confess those sins and those faults and those failures to you, knowing that you're a great God who forgives us, and instead of pushing down upon us, you lift us up and free us up. For you have created us to be free human beings, not in bondage, not held down or held back by our sins. Thank you for that. Thank you for moving us into a new year. Help us to focus in on our aspirations on your behalf in the year ahead. For we know that you want to involve us in the expansion and the enrichment of your kingdom. And it's your kingdom that will come. Thank you for including us. Lord, as we think about your great commission, we pray for our world, the pastors and missionaries and faithful disciples who are carrying out and declaring your word today. We pray the same thing for our country and our region. We pray for those in leadership, corporate leadership, government leadership. Lord, I pray you would give them wisdom as they lead. Lord, you're making a way in each one of us, and help us to cooperate with that today. Help us to see it, imagine it. Help us to feel it. Help us, Lord, to engage in it. We need your presence, your power, and your peace that passes all human understanding. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're starting and making preparations for restoring rhythms. This is a great opportunity to engage in your faith. Remember, we did Rooted a few years ago. We did Rooted as we were headed into the pandemic, and we're going to restore rhythms as we exit the pandemic. If you're with us online today, if you email squimcommunitychurch.org, he can send you the Zoom link to be a part of one of those Q&A sessions by Zoom. Again, rick@squimcommunitychurch.org. That's going to start at 10:15 and then again at 11:15. One final thing, speaking of speakers, our next venture to refresh God's house is all of these wonderful, beautiful speakers that you see above me have been in service for 20 years or more, both in this building and in the other building. And as we have been working on our sound and our electronics, our expert Austin said, you really need to change out your speakers. They need to be upgraded. I don't believe they're functioning at top capacity. You have some amplifiers that go with it, so it really is the whole sound system we want to overhaul. So as you get into the new year and God has blessed you, we have a place for that extra blessing. It's called the Speaking of Speakers Fund, and you can do that online as well as just note it in the memo line of your check coming into the church. Speaking of great speakers, one of our great preachers is Keith Sandell.
Thank you.
Yay. Keith is our youth pastor and all-around good guy, and he's reading the scripture passage this morning. Thank you.
Beginning of James chapter 1,
verses 1 to 8, and it goes like this. This is a letter from James, a slave of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am writing to the 12 tribes, Jewish believers scattered abroad. Greetings. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. But when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver. For a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do.
We've had troubles, and guess what? We're still in the midst of some trouble. Troubling troubles. What do we do with troubling troubles? It's interesting that James is actually writing about troubles, and his trouble that he's writing directly about is persecution. As the Christian church has expanded into a more Greek culture, farther away from Jerusalem, and the influence of Jewish traditions and values and ceremony, people have started falling away from the faith. And so James is trying to encourage them about how to live in persecution in troubling times. Now, you remember James. He's the brother of Jesus. He did not become a believer, a Christian, until after the resurrection. So he too needed some proof about who his brother was. And after the resurrection, it was very clear that he was the Savior of the world, that he was the Messiah, that he was the Son of God. James wants to help us with troubling troubles. What should we remember about troubling troubles? Here's what James says. Number one, they are inevitable. They're inevitable. I'm not sure why we're surprised that trouble comes our way. James 1, clause number one, which is A. When troubles of all kinds, I added that, come your way. When? They're going to come. No matter how you try to organize and insulate your life, and please do that. You don't have to run headlong into trouble. I think trouble just finds us. We live in an original sin impacted world. And because of original sin, we're going to have trouble. Everybody's going to have troubles, no matter how we try to prepare or insulate against them. We're still going to have them. Number two, remember that predictably, troubles are unpredictable. They're unpredictable, but we know they're going to come. It's not only when they come your way. They're going to come your way. They're going to come your way on some kind of regular basis. And the good thing about troubles, even though they're all troubling to us, they do come at different levels of intensity. And so it's somewhat easy to deal with those low-grade troubles. But when real trouble comes our way, well, that really is a challenge to us. That has a powerful emotional and mental impact upon us. So they're coming, and they're coming even though we're looking this way, it'll come that way. They are very unpredictable. Finally, we all know, and this is, I think, a basic truth to remember about troubling troubles, is that they do, if we can embrace them with our faith, they do create a good outcome, a positive outcome. James says, consider it an opportunity for great joy. Now, if you're like me, I gotta look around for that great joy. I am not one of those people when trouble is coming my way, I go, oh boy, another chance to grow in my faith. Hey, trouble's coming, let's throw ourselves a party, except for why? 2K. I think we did do that. Didn't we? You can assume as a human being on this planet that troubles are going to be inevitable. They are going to be unpredictable. And despite those two things, oftentimes trouble have a very positive outcome on our life. Now, what are we to look for in terms of our response to trouble? What is the spiritual faith dynamic? Number one, troubles are going to test our faith, aren't they? Aren't they? I'm a little bit, I think, like you. When things are going along easy, I'm just going along easy. But you know, when trouble comes, there's a focus and an intensity that I bring to that moment, and I think we all do. We pray a little bit more often when we're troubled by trouble. Don't we? Don't you? I do. Again, James acknowledges that. For you know that when your faith is tested, and it will be tested, it is being tested. I think now our faith, our patience, it's all being tested. And it will be continually a test as we make our way through 2022. It not only tests our faith, but it begins to help us build an endurance for our life over the long haul. Your endurance has a chance to grow when the troubles come, and we know that's true. Endurance is that power to stand against the difficulty that is around you. God wants to make that faith fully developed. He wants to use it as an opportunity for us to move forward in life. And isn't it true when we're younger, troubling troubles are very troublesome? They're difficult. They're hard to deal with. Why? We don't have any history with them, or very little history with them as adults. As we deal with them, we realize that life on this planet is not a sprint, it's a marathon. We all thought we'd be done with COVID in a few months. We all kind of wanted to believe that. And yet, here we are 2 years later, still dealing with it. And the things that we've learned in this time have been very good for us, because they have equipped us for the long haul of life. And troubling troubles will do that to you. If you engage with them, if you grapple with those troubles with your faith and your hope in Jesus Christ, it will equip you for the long haul of life. I feel more equipped to deal with trouble than I did when I was younger. Part of that, I'm not as fast. I can't run from it like I used to. The other thing that's very true, and this is what you should look for when troubling troubles come your way, is that God wants to use that as an opportunity to mature your character. To mature your character. James says, so let us grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Now, that sounds a little funny to me. Maybe it sounds a little funny to you. You mean, on this planet, I'm going to get to a place where I'm complete and I have no needs? Uh-uh. See, James is already looking ahead to eternity. And he's responding, your character as it matures on this planet is being matured not only for you in this moment on this planet, but your character is one of the things you're taking with you when you go to eternity. That's what the sanctification process is all about. It's to get us ready for the glorification that will happen when we die. Now, I believe as we hold on to our faith in the midst of troubles, I do believe that we gain more and more of what we need. we find that our inner character, because it's been challenged, now develops. And it's true, we can get very despondent. We can get very angry. We can get very stressed and depressed. And once we have those emotions, now we can choose to move forward in the best direction. And I don't know about you, but when everything seems to be normal, that's really cool. Because things aren't very normal. They're still not very normal. And we used to take, so to speak, normal for granted, but we're not doing that anymore. And when those moments come where things just seem normal, boy, don't we love that? And so God is building our character. He wants to meet our needs more and more. He wants us to exhibit more and more the fruit of the Holy Spirit. But all of our needs and the completion of our character will not happen in this world. And it will happen in the world to come. And we will be ready for that. We will know that to be a glorious experience. So how do we triumph? What does James say about how we triumph over troubling troubles? Number one, he says that we should be rejoicing. Ah, so hard to do. Consider it an opportunity for great joy. I'm not like that. When trouble is on the horizon, I don't say, oh, great, here comes another chance to grow my character. Oh, look, Jesus is giving me another chance to test my faith and steel me up in terms of my spiritual relationship with him. I think I'm like the rest of you. Uh-oh. Is there any way I can run from this? Hide from this? And inevitably, if it's a troubling trouble, we can't hide from it and we can't run from it. We've got to deal with it. And as we deal with it, like what Paul says in Philippians, God wants to give us a peace that passes all human understanding. It makes no sense for us to throw a party when troubles are coming our way. But yet we can rejoice in the fact that God even uses troubling troubles in our life. Even our troubling troubles, he'll use that not only in our life, but in the life of someone else. God does not waste the pain of our mistakes and sins. Just the opposite. As we stay engaged with him and we shoulder into what is happening around us, the troubling troubles around us, it's amazing what God does in us and through us. It's amazing how he develops our faith and our character. It's amazing how in the midst of difficult times, he can give us an ability to rejoice. And if nothing else, it's a rejoicing that we're headed to a place that will not be like this earth. It will not be as painful, as troubling as it is on this planet. And if nothing else, we can rejoice in the fact that, yes, up ahead, it's going to be really, really good. Up ahead. We can say in this moment, well, it could be worse. And when we say it could be worse, that opens the door for us to have a sense of joy in the midst of the difficulty and the tragedy around us. It really is about a faith that sees, even though a lot of water's gone out of the glass, that it's still only half full. It's not half empty. And I believe that perspective and that faith lifestyle, that's developed when troubles comes your way. Number two, we need to realize that God is the one that we need to ask for wisdom. If you need wisdom, ask your gracious God. Is he a stingy God? No, he's a gracious God. He knows everything and he's not keeping it all to himself. He's willing to share it if we're willing to ask for it. And he will give it to you. Now, again, some of us come from a tradition that when troubles are around us, we think we're out of the will of God. We think God is mad at us. Especially if that trouble is the end result of a bad choice, bad behavior on our part. But notice what James says. He will not rebuke you for asking. Really, do you think you know everything? Do you think you're supposed to know everything? No, we don't know everything. We can study and read. We'll never know everything about everything, but you know, God knows everything about everything. He knows everything about us. He knows everything about the circumstances, the troublesome troubles that we're facing. And he's there to be the anchor for us. And he does have a path for us. Again, when trouble comes our way, we think somehow we're off of the path of God. And that is not what the gospel says. In fact, the gospel says that if you follow your path, trouble will come your way. We always like to read the passages about all the easy, positive blessings of following Jesus. But you know, Paul is very clear. We will suffer like Jesus suffered. We will suffer for our faith. We will suffer in this imperfect world with other imperfect people, knowing we're imperfect as well. We're not supposed to know everything. That's one of the great things about God is he'll tell us what we need to know. All we have to do is ask. Even Jesus says you don't have because you didn't ask. There's a lot of smart people in Squim, but there's not a one of us that knows everything. There's not a one of us that have transcendent God Almighty wisdom. Yet, James is saying it's available to you if you'll just ask. He'll extend it to you. And this really has everything to do with the sincerity of our faith. Do we really think we know it all and we don't need God? Boy, we try to set our life up in that way, don't we? We set our life up so that the only people we need are those that are easy to be with. Those that can come and fix my plumbing or my electricity. No, a sincerity of faith is understanding that God is the source of all the real wisdom that we need in this world. Because when troubling troubles come our way, wow, we're out of sorts, both inside and outside, and we need a spiritual centering in those moments. And we need some perspective and wisdom to allow us to look at things differently than we are in our anger and panic. See, a sincerity of faith. Are we just trying to add God onto our life? You know, are we living out our faith, Jesus plus something else? See, a sincere faith makes all the difference when troubling troubles come our way. Listen to what James says. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blowing and tossed by the wind. Now, I don't know if you've been a boater or a sailor, but there's a lot of truth to this. Do you want to keep getting blown around and tossed around by everything, the next news that you read or hear? The next trouble that comes your way? See, a sincerity of faith makes a big difference. And our faith in God is not a faith in something lesser. It's a faith in something that's the best. It's divine. It's miraculous. It's out of this world. And when trouble comes your way, my way, man, I'll take all the miracles there are. God is not a stingy God. He's a gracious God. We just need to ask and remain loyal to what he says to us. We have to trust God. We have to pray. We have to remind ourselves that out of all of this, God wants to bless us. Look at verse 12 of James chapter 1. God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. You can be a little impatient too. But the key here is endure. Our endurance is not created without pressure, without challenge, without difficulty. And when we patiently follow Jesus when troubling times come our way, troubling situations, troubling news, troubling realities, it is disruptive to us. But we soon need to get ourselves centered again upon God. Because in the midst of this troubling trouble, there is a blessing that will come to us. Afterwards, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. And that crown of life he's talking about is eternity. It is the image of the old Greek Olympic Games where the winner was given a wreath. And even Paul says it's not a crown that is perishing, just the other. It's a crown that's eternal. Now, here's the deal. You can wait until you die and go to heaven to enjoy the full blessings of God. Or you can make a decision that you're going to stay focused on him when troubling troubles come your way. Is that going to test you? Yes, it is. Is it going to develop you? Only if you allow it to. Is God going to stand with you in the midst of your trouble and show you a way out of that trouble? Yes, yes, he will, and he will. Yeah, troubling troubles. The great thing is they don't exist in eternity. They just exist in this world. And the great thing is we're not just existing in this world. We're thriving in this world. And the reason for that is we worship the Almighty God. And He is not against us. He is for us. Take your troubling trouble and prayerfully put it before God and ask Him for the wisdom to deal with it. Because He brings us to it, through it, and beyond it. Let us pray. Lord, You know the troubling trouble that comes right to our mind when we get on this subject. It's not only the troubles that we have, but we see troubling troubles in the lives of those around us, and we're thankful that You stand in the midst of our community with one another. That You want to give us wisdom and You want to develop our Christian character, our faith and trust in You. And Lord, we ask that You would do that as we set before You the troubling trouble that we're facing. Lord, we're thankful to You that You're a God who cares, a God who brings divine, miraculous resources, that You're a God who has placed us with other Christians so that when our faith is waning, we can borrow some faith from someone else. Lord, help us to know how to encourage one another to love for You and love for one another. Lord, thank You for being an almighty God who's on our side. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please stand and sing with us.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is my. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God. Born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I am the same. Happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. all the day long.
Bless you as you go out this week. He's with you in the midst of trouble, in good times and the bad times. We serve a mighty, faithful God. So we pray you'll be encouraged this week. Put your hope in the Lord. God bless you. We'll see you next week.